Well, tonight we return to Mark's Gospel, and our passage begins in chapter 1 at verse 35. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, from verse 35. Now, in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Our passage this evening is about the Lord's priorities and his purpose. It's about the priority of prayer and preaching the word. The priority of prayer and God's word. And that is what was most important to the Lord Jesus. And that he put spending time in prayer to his heavenly Father first. And that despite many pressures, he was not distracted from his purpose, which was to preach the word, which was to make God known. If you remember, the gospel in chapter 1 begins by giving us something of a snapshot of a day in the life of the ministry of the Lord Jesus. How he began his great work to save the world, preaching around his home region of Nazareth. And we're told about his mighty and amazing divine works, healing the sick, casting out demons, and above all, preaching the good news, which is the message that God's salvation had now come. The kingdom had come. The Son had come. And so now is the time to turn from sin and to be forgiven. And our passage tells us how Christ ended that particular day, this exemplary day. How after rest, he woke up early when it was still dark. Then he went to be on his own to pray. Then when the disciples find him, he announces that he must travel on around the rest of Israel. And he explains his mission. Verse 38 gives us a very important statement about the Lord's purpose. "Let us go into the next towns so I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." I have come forth. I've been sent. I have come from heaven. From God to do this. And this is why I've come. To preach the gospel. To all. To reveal his saving power and good news. Perhaps was this something again of a turning point. As he recommitted himself to the mission God had given him. There must have been temptations to seek an earthly crown. To rally the crowds and march on Jerusalem. There must have been many other things pressing on him for his time and his energy. But he devotes himself to the mission God has given him in obedience. And so this also marks something of a transition. From this point, his ministry is not just in the small region where he's lived and grown up, but it's now out to all the people, to a wider sphere around Israel. And indeed, verse 37 tells us there were lots of competing demands on the Lord. The disciples say, "Everyone's looking for you. They've seen the miracles. They've heard you preach." And so everyone is pressing in on Christ. Hundreds of people searching for him. But even still, the Lord's priority was prayer, communion with God, and the ministry of his word. So let me suggest that this passage asks some searching questions of us. How do we manage our time? What are our real priorities? What is really most important to you? But before the word searches us and challenges us, let me first point you to the good news of the Lord, our righteousness. Because what does this verse tell us about Jesus himself? It tells us he's the perfect man of prayer. Sorry, my voice is giving out a little. He's the perfect man of prayer. It shows you how our Lord Jesus lived a truly holy life. He was truly devoted to God, consecrated. His heart and life, his time and energy, his hands and his feet, all given to God, dedicated to him. And so life with God is his life. It was his joy and his delight to be alone with God to pray. This got him up long before daylight. Would have been cold, dark, even a little dangerous to go out alone to seek God. Like any one of us, it would have meant pulling himself out of a warm bed, maybe missing out on breakfast, forcing his tired and aching muscles to stretch and get moving. And he does it from his fervent longing to be with God, his devotion. You see in the Lord Jesus his true holiness, his love for God. That holiness is not about a list of rules, although it is about the blessed commandments of God. It's not about rituals. It's about loving God from the heart. The kind of love that makes you get up and start the day putting him first, seeking him in prayer. Everything else must wait. The Lord Jesus in his human nature, just like ours, had perfect self-control and self-denial. He was disciplined. It takes that kind of effort, doesn't it, to get up early in the morning to pray. But again, no doubt, this is not like a one-off for the Lord Jesus. What we're being shown here is that this is his regular pattern. How daily he's disciplining his body and his mind, and everything is being devoted to serving God. So you see here, his righteousness, his perfect obedience. He's the perfect man. He's always done what's right and good. Now isn't that good news? That he's the Lord our righteousness. Because you and I are so flawed and sinful that our devotion to God, even at best, is weak. Have you ever tried to consistently wake up early to pray? You'll know how hard it is to do that and to keep on doing it. And I'm sure, like me, all of us would say, if we think about how we pray, we feel convicted of how far short we fall. All of us, I'm sure, must feel guilty that we do not pray as we should. But not the Lord Jesus, thank God. Always perfect in his devotion. And that's why he's the Savior. It tells us a lot about his wonderful person. It tells us about his love and his compassion. He was no doubt praying for the people and for the disciples. And so you see in his prayer that his sacrificial love for us, to get up early and alone when it's difficult. And he did it to pray for others. He did it to pray for us. And so it gives you a small glimpse of what the Lord is doing even today. As scripture tells us, he continues in heaven, interceding for us now. Still alive in heaven, praying and interceding for his people, his church. So when you do feel convicted at how feeble your prayers are, yes, we should redouble our efforts to be zealous for the Lord and to search for him with all our heart. But thank God that he is our righteousness. Thank God that he represents us in heaven and has done what we have all failed to do. We can be comforted that this perfect devoted man of God is our righteousness. That the Son of God shows us his perfect goodness and we are in him, accepted because he's so righteous. But if that's the good news, the passage does challenge us. His example challenges us about our priorities. There were so many demands upon Jesus. So much he could have done and been doing. But there's this deliberate choice that prayer and the word come first. When you compare verse 37 to 38, Jesus turns away from the crowds. Prayer comes first. In prayer, what do? We honor God. We praise and worship him. In prayer, we confess our faults and sins. In prayer, we ask for everything we need. In prayer, we humbly acknowledge everything comes from God, that we can do nothing without him. Preaching the word of God is making him known. It is teaching his laws. It is testifying to his faithfulness. It's revealing his ways here on earth. It is to speak for God through his word, to make clear what he's revealed, his plan of salvation, how to live, how to be saved, how to be right with God. Prayer and the word are the means of grace. And through them, God gives us life. He helps us. He ministers to us. Through these means, we conquer sin. We're set free. We are prepared for eternity. So it's a huge challenge to you individually and to us as a church. You see here the real temptation that Jesus could have been blown off course, distracted by good things from the most important things. And isn't that the temptation? That good things will distract us from the best things. In your life, there will be lots of other demands and priorities. And they can all keep you from these two most important things. As we've often said, we live in the age of distraction. We're all so busy. Isn't that the problem? We're all under so many demands. Our lives are cluttered with obligations and time is so limited and precious. And I totally understand if you feel that you don't have a spare minute in the day. That modern life with technology, work, family, it really does squeeze us. But what we have to be conscious of as Christians is that that can very easily be the world molding and shaping us by its demands on a level that we're not even aware of. And that before we've even started, we've been fitted into a pattern for living by the world that we've just accepted and have not challenged. And so sometimes we need to be challenged by the word. What will you make the priority of your life? You have a choice. You can be carried along by the demands of busyness and not have time for prayer or the word. Too busy with other priorities. Or you can choose to follow Christ and to make prayer and preaching the priority. Will the prayer and ministry of the church be your priority? Will the weekly meetings around the means of grace on the Lord's Day be your priority? Isn't that the real acid test? Are you too busy to be in the church? You have to make a choice. Is your day too busy for prayer, listening to the scriptures? You have to make the choice that they will come first. Perhaps there's something helpful in comparing how people have lived in other times and places. In the pre-modern world, our Christian forefathers, you would have had to fetch your water. You have to cook all your food and light a fire and mend your clothes. A lot of your time would be taken up with basic substance priorities. It all would have been much harder, taken much longer, been more physically demanding. Think about how men used to work hard in the fields or down the mines. No electric lights, just candles and lamps. But what do you find? When you look back at history, you find Christians with all these added difficulties who were still devoted to God, who still made prayer and preaching far more of a priority than the modern church does. Are we really busier? Or is it just that our priorities are wrong? Is it not perhaps that the real problem is in our hearts? We're building bigger barns, seeking worldly things, and neglecting the kingdom of heaven. What are your priorities? Are they prayer and God's word? Let me suggest it also asks, who are you when you're alone with God? Something wonderful about this passage is Mark's been telling us so much about the public ministry of the Lord Jesus. who he was ministering to the crowds. And now he shows us who he is in private. And the wonderful thing is that he's the same. He's the same. There's no inconsistency. There's no face or mask in public and something secret behind. He's 100% pure in his devotion. Could the same be said of you? You know, there's that phrase the Puritans often used. What a man is on his knees alone with God, that he is, and no more. Is it easy to put on the face when you're in public and in the church or around others? But is the private devotion there? Is it there consistently when it's just you and the Lord? Are you afraid to be alone in prayer with God, to bear your soul to him, to come face to face with him? When did you last get alone to seek him? Isn't this the true test? What is your pleasure, your priority when you're alone? What will you do when you let your hair down and nobody's watching? Again, I think one of the forces at work in our culture around us trying to shape us is what I would call the force of disintegration. We're all being pulled into different parts and divided up. Life is being divided up and put into segments. So there's life at work, there's life with friends, there's life with church, there's who we are online, who we are in the flesh. And there's something about life being separated, that community is not, all these are different communities we belong to. We might feel like we're different people in all these different places. And I think even people's personalities and mental well-being is being chopped up by this disintegration. Who are you when you're alone with God? The only way to be whole, to be truly human, and living the God-blessed, fulfilled life, is to be the same honest person in public and in private. And the starting point is, will you be alone with God in prayer? When you are alone with God in prayer, you come to the very throne of the Almighty. When you bow to pray, you are in the very center of the universe. Is it your priority? So there is the good news that even when we fall short, Christ our righteousness is the perfect devoted man of God. And when we all fall short, we are forgiven and accepted in him. But also, what is your priority is the challenge to you. But then third, let me just ask briefly, is there any practical wisdom then to help us in this passage as we seek to answer God's call? Because you see here, the Lord Jesus was under immense pressure. The burden of his calling as Christ and Messiah must be overwhelming. There's the pressure of enemies, attacks from the Pharisees and the rulers, always trying to trip him up and find fault with him. Pressure from the disciples, needing to learn constantly, getting it wrong. And pressure from all the needs of the crowds around him. Many who are sick and demon-possessed and troubled. It must have been overwhelming. Perhaps we can learn from the Lord Jesus the importance of getting unplugged. He could take on this immense ministry because he spent these times alone with God. Because he stepped out of those things to draw near to God. It's where he drew his spiritual strength. They gave him the grace and the power to then go and minister publicly. He was too busy not to pray. It's what was fueling and sustaining him. In the same way, you have to step out of the world. You need to unplug in order to be renewed and spiritually built up. And only then can you go out and minister to others. There's something about the pace of life today that is wearing people out. There are more people at a younger age being burned out, worn out, emotionally ground down, stressed out, overwhelmed than ever. Our instant, on-demand, 24-hour shopping culture, it's wearing us out mentally and emotionally and spiritually. We need to get unplugged. So practically, we need the Sabbath day more than ever before. We need to preserve and protect the holiness of this day. We need to get out of the world. We need to be in the church and amongst the fellowship of the saints as much as we can on this day. We need to turn off the internet, switch off the television, enjoy the peace and quiet, and not go out to go and do something, but simply be devoted to God and to rest physically and spiritually through the means of grace. And that surely is the first and most important thing. We need to perhaps unplug from technology. More and more often when you go out to eat somewhere, you'll see a whole family sat together and all with their phones out and not really looking at each other. We need to get unplugged. We need to find solitary places to pray. Just as we see, if the Lord Jesus had to do it, he had to purposefully go and find somewhere to be alone in the quiet and not be disturbed. You and I are going to have that battle too. Again, the Puritans, many of them built into their homes prayer closets. A room that would be a private, quiet space where they could just go to pray. And you'd know if they were in there, they were not to be disturbed. They would be aghast that we build our modern homes without them. Carve out that place. A place without distractions, where you can be alone in the quiet with God. Carve out that time. If you have to, put it in your schedule or your diary. If you have to, put the phone off the hook. But it's important to practically make those steps in order to seek God. We need this grace from God if we are to live. So what are your priorities? Do you see, are you perhaps going to consider tonight some of the practical steps you need to make in order to make prayer and the word your priority? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we confess, Lord, our fault, that we do not pray or seek you as we should. We pray, Lord, that you would change our hearts. We pray for your Holy Spirit's cleansing power, that he would inspire us and move us to pray and to draw near to you in the word. Please forgive us, Lord, when we have neglected what is truly important. But we do thank you, Lord, for the great joy and privilege of communion with you, that you do give us these gifts by which we can draw near to you. Lord, we pray that through them you would refresh us and renew us. We do pray, Lord, that you would renew our strength. And we thank you, Lord, for your Son, the Lord Jesus, that he was and is the perfect, devoted Son of God. Hear us for his sake, we pray. Amen.